If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and I know that our Sunday school teachers are teaching on the church, and I think that we, as a young church, I think that's a very good topic for us believers to understand what the church is about, our young believers as well. But let's look at these verses right here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and then we go into verse 16, then we go into our message. Look what it says. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man and to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed and fro, and carry about with every wind of doctrine. That's very important right here. Okay? By the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitted joined together and compacted by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working of the measure, of every part, make it increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the local church. It is here, Lord, that we learn about you. It is here that we learn to love one another. It is here that we learn to forgive one another. It is here in this place that we learn to edify one another and to love you and to love and to work and to live for you, Lord. And it is here that we see people again saved and baptized and added to the church. Lord, the local church is a wonderful place for anyone to be part of, family, single people, elder people, Lord. Everyone is welcome. And then we thank you tonight. We have a place we can be together as believers and worship you together as one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I was saying is tonight is the title of the message, Striving for Unity in the Church. Striving for Unity in the Church. So I know that both of our Sunday school teachers, the adult Sunday school teachers, are teaching on the church, and they're going on it. And the reason why the Lord laid in my heart is because I think us being such a young church, and we are a young church, we only 4 years old. We're not an old church. We're still putting our roots down, and our roots are not that deep yet. So we need to keep putting our roots down. But I think it's important for each one of us to understand what is the local church and what the local church means in our lives and what a local church can do for each one of us. So some people that take church as take it or leave it. They don't see how relevant the church is or how important they are in the local church. Some people think, and I believe me, it's not people here that said that, but I've been in church for 24 years. I heard all kinds of statements, and some people think, even some people come to, I'm talking about Christians saying, well, if I don't go, nobody misses me. You know, if I don't sit in that seat, I'll sit in that seat. But if I don't go, nobody even know I'm not going. But then that's not true. You know, the one that knows you're not there is your pastor. Because he knows exactly where you sit most of the time. Because we are the people of habit. And we have a tendency to be in the same place. I'll give you an example. One time in our home church, we decided to sit where the deaf ministry was. And we sat there, right, between two deaf people. We sat there. And the pastor was preaching, and suddenly I could see in his face. He found me in the middle. And he looked, what are you doing there? He literally said, what are you doing there? And I said, I decided to come here. You belong there. I mean, it was funny. But, you know, see, your pastor knows you're not so. You are important. You are relevant. And sometimes, you know, what I'm trying to say, some Christians have that mindset that it's take it or leave it. They're not that important. They're not that relevant. And then really, it doesn't matter if they're there or not. Well, let me tell you something. God in his word compares the church to the human body and how we are members of one body. So the church is a local body of believers and all fits together. So for an example, if I came to church and left my hand at home, I would not be functioning right because I'm missing my arm. Part of my body is not there. You don't function properly. Or so is the local church. It doesn't matter what you do, where you are, and where God is putting you. Let me tell you, every piece in that local body of believers is important and relevant. Listen, some people think this way. Well, but I don't do much. Let me tell you this way. How long was Paul being taught in the back of the desert and by the Lord until the Lord called him to the ministry? Quite a long time. What about Moses? So we think, God puts us in a certain places for a specific purpose. And it's out of our time that God puts it in one place for us to learn, for us to get it in and learn. And when it comes to the point they said, okay, I know I can use it somewhere else, he will move you. We just have to be patient and teachable and wait on the Lord so the Lord can use each one of us. And that's how the Lord works. I remember sitting in a pew. I remember listening messages after message. I remember taking notes. I remember when the Lord called me for this ministry, that ministry. And I willingly, I mean, I remember my wife and I, we prayed about it. So, Lord, whatever you have for us, we willing to do. So the Lord put me in all kinds of ministries, and we served. But for a time, you know what we did? We just went to church. That's what we did. We just went to church. So we started this lesson on the church and what is the importance on the local church in the life of believers. And let me tell you, today we're going to look at the subject of unity. So, healthy churches are comprised of those who have identified their gifts and committed to using their gifts to complement the variety. Variety of gifts to others. So coming together in unity and actively using those gifts is essential to the prosperity and growth of that church. See, if a church is dysfunctional, that church don't grow right. Listen, if a business is dysfunctional, that business doesn't act right, doesn't produce right. Eventually, sometimes those businesses even close down because they were not organized, they were not united, and everybody pushes their own ways. The same thing in a home. A home has to be united in order to flourish and grow and keep going. A church is the same way. It's comprised of individuals of different gifts and abilities, and those gifts and abilities are to be used in God's time. It's not like, listen, I had a man that came here one time, and this is not just a new person, this is a person that came from another church, and he came to one service, he had a meeting with me. And I said, listen, if there's someone that I know, for an example, we have two individuals here that are Sunday school teachers. I know those people from our previous ministry, and I know them from a long time. So they're familiar to me. I know them. I know what they believe. I know what they stand. It's different. But when you have a person come into your church and come into one service, and he professes to be a believer, and he wants to have a meeting with you and ask you, the only way I can become a member of your church is if you give me a place to teach. Well, what would you do if you were a pastor? And I told him, I said, listen, you come, you listen, you observe, you think, I'm going to give you a copy of our doctrinal statement, what we believe, and we, in time, when it's time, the Lord will put in my heart, and we will give you a place to teach. Well, that was the last time I saw him. Out the door he went, and so, see, it's not the way it is. We are comprised with gifts. All of us have gifts here, and some gifts are given by the Lord when after we got saved. And let me tell you, those gifts, God wants us to use them, but we have to wait on God's time. God is the one who said, you now. And I'm looking at Paul. Paul was called, and Paul was serving in the church. And guess what God did? God called Paul to be a missionary. He knew what he was doing before he was called. He was serving in the church. He was just a church attendant like everybody else. And the Lord taught him, the Lord instructed him, he called him to the ministry. So listen, it's like, oh, but I know I'm not going to be a pastor. It's all types of ministries. He can be a greeter. You can be an encourager. You can be a person that comes and cleans the church. You can be a person that puts a garbage bag outside. You can be a person that makes sure everything is neat and inviting. It's all kinds of ministries. And let me tell you, you might be unique in one thing that nobody else is. If you tell me to take care of flowers, I'm not the greatest one. But some people have a special touch for that. They make flowers smile. I don't. I make flowers cry. I don't know how to play with it. I don't know how to, but some people have that gift, that ability. That's the way. I'm just using a simple, silly example. But all of us have those abilities. But it's one thing for us to act and to move forward. It's got to be in the spirit of unity. All right, let's look at this from several points. Number one, God's provision for the building of His church. Folks, for a church to grow in a healthy way, there must be unity amongst the body. No organization, no business, no home, no government can function properly if there is no unity. The human body will not function properly, like I said, if the members of the body will not function well. All right, if I leave my leg at home and I try to walk with just one leg, I don't think I'm going to walk properly the way the body is designed to. I can amend, I can try the best that I can, but let me tell you, you not walk properly. You're missing one member. And the Lord tried to open our mind here from the physical standpoint to make us understand how important is each piece in the local church. That's why we say we don't build a church, God builds His church. He's the one who brings the pieces that He fits necessary to be in that place. And the problem is a lot of times we don't have the patience to wait on the Lord. We want things here now, and we live in a society like that. So we don't have the patience to wait, Lord, okay, I'm here, I'm content, I'm serving You, and when is Your time? If You want me to do something, then You call me. Isn't that what Paul did? He was serving in the local church until the Lord called him, and he went. So sometimes we express concern about certain ministries that needed to be done, but we don't have the people to do it. And listen to me, please. The problem many times is not that we don't have the people to do it, but people that don't want to be involved. And it is common in every church. We say that like 20% of the people, sometimes even less than that, don't do the job of 100% of the people because many people don't want to be involved. It is sad. It is very sad because here's what happens. God gave every child of His a gift to be used in a local church for His glory. And know what we do with that gift? We hide that gift. And we don't use it for the Lord. And let me tell you, and even as we go through life, we go through different phases. You might be doing this today, and like 10 years from now, you can't do it, but the Lord lays something else on your heart. So we have to be sensitive. We have to hear the voice of the Lord and wait on His time, because in time, He will lead us. He will impress on the heart of the pastor. He will impress on your heart. And the Lord in this time will call you. And if you say yes, Lord, guess what? You will use that gift for His honor and for His glory. But unfortunately, there are people that do all the work and some people don't do anything. But don't misunderstand me here. Some people physically can't do it. There are ministries that it don't matter how much you try to encourage. Some people physically can't do it. It's understandable. But let me tell you, this is a ministry that everybody can do. You know what that ministry is? Prayer. Amen. We need to pray for our services. We need to pray that we have visitors. We need to pray that we see people again saved. So we pray that the Spirit of God will move in the church and convicts those who are on social media and those who come and visit. And by the way, we had 3 visitors this morning. And it convicts the heart and grabs that heart and shakes that heart to a point that person understands needs salvation. So listen, folks, God is building His church. And as He builds the church and He equips His children with special gifts, He didn't say, okay, I'm building my church and you guys are left to your own. No. When he saved you, he gives you gifts and abilities that you otherwise didn't know. But as you mature in the Lord, you begin to discover, oh, I have this gift. I have this gift. But don't go ahead of God. Don't go ahead of God. Because when we go ahead of God, we're making a mistake. God will call us in his own time. We have to be patient. And I know we live in a world today that patience is a thing of the past. Nobody's patience anymore, you know. So what is the gift that God have given you? What is it? Where are you doing with that gift that you have? And listen, some people are great encouragers. A person can be discouraged, beaten down, and that person always have positive words, kind words, encouraging words. That's a gift. Not everybody is like that. I know people that as much as they try, they're not encouragers. They are discouragers. But they don't have that gift. Some people are hospitality. Some people are very giving. They go out of their way. They will give you their clothes if they could. That they will give you anything. With that, the Lord impressed on their hearts. And those gifts are wonderful when they're used in unity in the local church. God impressed that on our hearts for us to give to the local church so we can use them for the glory of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So, what are you doing with the gift that the Lord give you? So, letter A, let's look at this. The various positions for the church. Look at verse 11. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So as the Lord in his sovereignty designed the church, he provides those teachers, those people with those gifts to equip the body of believers. Now, I've been in church for a long time. And I listen to all types of pastors. I've been in all types of Sunday schools. I heard all kinds of teachers. And let me tell you, it amazes me how the Lord speaks and uses each person differently. Everybody uses the Word of God and speaks the Word of God. And God uses who we are to convey the message. And let me tell you, it is good to listen to different people in the church. That's why the Lord says right here, he gave us prophets and apostles, and those things are gonna, of course, we know that. But we have evangelists and pastors and teachers, and so we can build us up. So, there are some more intellectual teachers, there are more practical teachers, but they're all teachers. Some teachers are more practical in their teaching. Some teachers are more deep in the Word of God. They're very intellectual in the Word of God, but they're all good. Listen, you might eat a good steak today, and he goes, oh, it was good, but tomorrow you want a cup of soup. You follow that? Today you want, good food. Tomorrow you want something light. But if in the local church, the same thing, it all fits together for what? For the sake of the body of believers. So it is important. Why do you think I have like our teachers switching? For an example, I learned from experience that when you have divided Sunday schools and you have one teacher teaching the same class all the time, you know what happens? I've seen that happen. You have a little church inside your church. And the people in that church have a tendency to, this is our group. No, this is our church, not our group. And I've seen that happen. And that's not good. So I do like I switch the teachers purposely, so every person have the experience to learn from a different perspective, and I think that's very good. So the Lord in His sovereignty, He provides those teachers for evangelists and pastors for to build you up as a body of believers. So let's look at letter B. The various expectations for his church. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So every godly parent have expectations for his children. Do you agree with that? I have expectations for my kids. Even the ones who are married, I have expectations on them. And if I get disappointed on them, I let them know. They're still my children. No matter how old they are, even if I'm 90 and they're 70, I mean, let me tell you what, they're still my children. But anyway, every godly parent have expectation for their children. So the Lord, I believe, as the standards and as expectations for his children. So, I believe, put it this way, if God give you gifts or special gifts when you got saved, I believe that he expects you to use those gifts. He wants you to use those gifts for him, for his honor and for his glory, for the edifying of our brothers and sisters. You might wait 20 years before you use your gift, but he wants you to use that gift. You might wait 2 or 3 years. I don't know. We just have to wait on the Lord. But let me tell you, if he gives you that gift, God wants you to use it. It was a gift to you. Let me tell you, I knew from the first 2 weeks that I was saved, I knew the Lord was calling me to be a pastor. It was clear. Was I prepared? No, I was not. It took me time in the church to learn those ministries step by step. I went to teach the bus kids. I don't like that word, the bus kids. Okay? Then I went to teach the regular church kids. Then we went to the upper older people. Then the Lord would give me opportunity to preach here and there. Then it was the bus ministry. Then it was the choir. Then it was the treasurer. Then it was deacon. All those ministries. I just went through that, and I didn't know the Lord was teaching me. So he's preparing me for the ministry. And many years later, he calls me, and I surrendered myself. I went to college and prepared myself and came and went to the ministry. But let me tell you, it didn't happen overnight. It's a process. The same thing with all of us. It's a process. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter what ministry the Lord is calling us. The Lord calls us in his time. We have just to be willing to learn and to observe and get it in and go at it after when the Lord calls us. So the very expectation of the Lord, if he gives you a gift, is because he wants you to use that gift. Let me see, number one there, the perfecting of the saints. That's as the idea of preparing the saints. God uses various spiritual gifts within this leadership to prepare and equip the believer to serve within the church. Many churches have the idea that ministry is reserved solely for the staff members. That's not true. All of us are in the ministry together. All of us have the responsibility to build the body of Christ. My responsibility as a pastor is to preach, is to teach your word, to edify you with the word of God, to help you in the things of God. But you have your responsibility. You have a ministry as well. You know one of the ministries you all of us have here is to go tell the world about Jesus. And if you're not doing that, let me tell you, you're not doing what God calls you to do. God calls you, all of us, to go and tell the world that they need Christ. That's why you think we encourage you to give tracts, to give those tracts we have in the rack out, so you can be a light and a hope to those people. Not only that, he wants you also to be the salt of the earth. Is that to every believer? That's your ministry. What is the salt of the earth? Listen, you have to put the taste or the thirst for God's word in people's hearts and minds. You have to speak in a way that they get thirsty and about God's word. It's like putting salt in somebody's mouth. Make them thirsty for God's word. That means where you go, you speak about God. You act godly. You speak godly. You act in a way that they go, oh, and they get curious enough that they want what you have. So there's the ministry of the saints. So we perfect those things. So the number two is the work of the ministry. Those in leadership are expected to prepare believers to carry out the work of the ministry. The responsibility of laboring in the harvest is to be shared with all who make up the body of Christ. Like I just said, if you are saved by grace and you are part of the local body of believers, you ought to be engaged in those ministries. And number three, the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is expected to encourage and support those within the body. Here's one job that all of us are to do. We are called to edify one another. Listen, I need your encouragement. Amen. Believe me. I'm a pretty positive person. I am. I am pretty upbeat person. But let me tell you, we need to edify one another. We need to encourage one another. so you don't see a person, a brother or sister at church. Sisters, if you don't see a sister at church, text them, call them, let them know that you love them, that you care for them, that you miss them. Even in the church, we edify one another with positive words. You see, it's do we together? We need those things together. So I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. We need each other. So each one of us are precious stones that can be used for the Lord in many different ways as he continued to build his church. And he gives us this gift where we have to use those gifts in unity of the body. In a proper time, in the right time. That's why sometimes we have meetings, we talk with each other. The whole thing about this is for the edifying of the body. What can we do to look this for this thing to get better? What can we do for this thing to be in a better way? So we talk about it. So number one, we see the God's provision for his church. Number two, the purpose revealed for the building of his church. Here we find the purpose behind this collective efforts right here. What is gain when you and I continually? What we gain when you and I continually serve the Lord week after week, month after month, year after year? What do you gain with that? You see, if you don't be careful, we can lose track and lose our vision and lose our heart of what we're doing. Why do I go to church? What is my purpose when I go there? Why I go to church on Sunday morning? Why I go to church on Sunday night? Why I go to church on Sunday school? Why I'm there? Why I go to church on Wednesday night? Why I'm going to church on Saturday morning? So if we don't be careful, we lose focus. We lose focus of what why we do what we do. And if somebody asks you that question, what is your answer? Somebody says to you, why do you go to church all the time? What is your answer? You see, if we don't be careful, we lose track of what we do and lose heart and end up when doing nothing. Church can become a routine. Witness to the lost can be a forgotten manner, and living for God can become a foreign thing. We just do our own thing. We just go into the routine of life. And let me tell you, I'm just pound me really hard here. When we took our trip to Portugal, it's amazing how this has happened. I'm Portuguese. I was born in Portugal, and I migrated here when I was a kid. But we're here. But I went back there with my family. We went, and I, it just hit me hard how much Americanized I became. I didn't look like a Portuguese. I didn't act like one. I act like an American. And that's what happens sometimes with we as Christians. If we come to a point, we lose focus, we lose sight of what we do, and we go into the routine of those church attendance, and we forget to understand what we're here for. Where is our purpose? What are we doing in the local church? Is one thing that you need to keep in mind. Every time we meet together, we come together to worship our great God. That's it. And let me tell you, I feel bad for the ones who don't come because they are the ones who miss out this great blessing. Listen, it's one thing to listen and watch on social media. It's another thing to be there with the body. Much different. See, that's why we can't do everything so perfect, because if you do, they get so comfortable they never leave their couch. So you got to do things that they miss out so they make them move out. If you're watching on social media, that's I'm trying to reach out to you. You know, it comes to a point that you need to come out of your couch and come to God's house. But let me tell you, the more you involve yourself in the work of the Lord by witness to others, attending church, living for him, the more you will change your ungodliness to godliness. As the church continues to equip you with the word of God, fulfilling your ministry, it affects the whole body. It affects all of us. You know what we need to do? We need to be like sponges. If you put a sponge in a bucket of water, what happened to that bucket of water? What happened to that sponge? That sponge what? Sucks the water out of that bucket. That's what we need to do as Christians. We can become like sponges. We take the word of God in, and we listen, and we learn, and as we learn, we grow. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful for the godly people that the Lord had put in my path through the years. How much they build me up and encourage me. And I even tell my wife many times, I'm so thankful that the people that the Lord put in my path was always people that loved the Lord, people that had their doctrine correct. And I never deviated to go because messed up because somebody came along the way and tried to push me the other way. Oh, God was always protecting me that way. And I thank the Lord for that. So number one, not letter A, we see the sanctification of the saints. Look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Ironically, we talked about this word yesterday in our Bible doctrine, the word sanctification. So this, we went in for about 2.5 hours on this thing. so this should be the goal of every pastor in a New Testament church. Paul speaks in the essence of sanctification and conformity to the image of Christ. The church cannot rest until we all stand united in faith, possessing intimately the same knowledge, that knowledge of Christ, and be of the same mind together. God, in order for us to be in unity, we have to have the same mind. You say, well, what about the ones that are not in the same mind? We need to encourage them. Listen, folks, we're not in the business of chasing people out of the church. We're in the business of keeping them in and teach them. And some of them, believe it or not, we have to teach them patiently and kindly. That's the way it is. Listen, if you are a father of 5 or 6 kids or 7 kids, you will understand perfectly what I'm saying. You can teach the same thing to your kids, but there's always one or two there that need special attention. Some of them, they get it, and they get what you're saying, and they follow what you're saying. But some other kids, you just need to teach them, have special care for them. Otherwise, they just don't get it. And that's why we say, Johnny, I told you about 20 times I told you the same thing. Why don't you listen? You been there? So sanctification is a process, and in the mind and in the heart of those who are, of us who are more, have grown more in the Lord, have a stronger spiritual walk. For the sake of the body, we have to teach them patiently, so they can sanctify themselves, so they can come out of the world and leave the world totally, and just be united in the body of believers. So we are currently making progress, but this is a never-ending process. There is always room for continuous spiritual growth, and we need to discipline and the need to disciple others in the faith. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. For we know that what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Look what it says. Even your sanctification, that he should abstain from fornications. So God wants every believer to continually sanctify himself, to cleanse himself from their sin, to wash himself out. But let me tell you, it's a process. And let me tell you, how a believer can do this. Listen, the believer needs help. He needs help from the pastor, and his help from his teachers, and his help from the older, more spiritual people in the church. They need that help. They need that encouragement. They need the word from those people to help. That's why, in order to do that, we have to be in unity together. It's got to be that word of patience, because let me tell you, some of them are way down there, some of them are way up here. But say, but this person's been in church for so long. It doesn't matter. Some people can be in church for 20 years and still a baby in Christ. Because if that person always been, their mindset is the world, that person is not growing. Not growing in Christ is just continually feeding on the world. Let it be the stability of the saints. Look at verse 14. And we henceforth be no more children, toast and fro, and carry about with every doctrine of the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. So Paul is well aware of the relentless attack upon the church and the dangers they presented. The believer is responsible to settle in the faith, knowing that they believe that what they believe and what they believe in. So they need to be settled in their faith. They need to be stable in their faith. And let me tell you, as a church, we need to help those ones who are more fragile and weak and need to be strong in their faith. So we need to encourage one another. See the importance of Sunday school? You see how important it is? Sunday school is vitally important. Sunday morning is important. Sunday night is important. Wednesday night is important. Because every time we meet together, look what we do. We strengthen each other. We build each other up. We encourage each other in the Lord. And as we listen to the Word of God over and over again, guess what happens? It gets in our mind and we grow in the Lord. Because let me tell you, we're easy to forget. We're easy to forget. And let me tell you, it happens all the time. We hear and just comes this way and goes out that way. We're easy to forget things. So we need to be reminded over and over again about the ways of the Lord. So hearing a message once in a while doesn't do. The church is responsible to equip and train its members in sound biblical doctrine. But how can the church teach if you're not here? How can the church teach you if you're not here? Whose fault is that? The church? The pastor? No, it's your fault. Listen, for you to eat the food of the Word, you need to hear the Word of God. Otherwise, how are you going to get fed? You need to be here in order to be taught. You need to be here so you can eat from the meat of the Word. You need to be here because the body needs you. So in order for us to grow in the Lord, we need to hear the Word of God. The winds of heresy and false doctrine continues to blow around. And let me tell you, folks, be careful what you watch on social media. Be careful with the websites you watch, because some people think they want to get their minds full of knowledge, and they think they can find somebody that knows better than their pastor, and they end up messing up themselves. And it's not like the pastors and tell them, be careful, but they don't listen. And before you know it, they become theologians. Listen, you can look at the internet, and it is a website for anything that your mind can think of. It's there. But if you think that everything in the web is true, you are naive. Because not everything there is true. It's a lot of false things there. So we need to be careful. The winds of heresy and false doctrine are everywhere, blowing all the way around. The enemy seeks to infiltrate and corrupt every believer or every Bible-believing church. We must be settled in the faith and certain, and be certain of our doctrine, but to know what we believe and stand on it. Our world is filled with those who seek to present an alternative to the gospel. Individually and corporately, we must be settled in the Word and stick together. With our unity, we be dysfunctional, and any doctrine can just come right in. We cannot allow those doctrines to sneak in the church and destroy the church. Folks, I tell you why. It happens in many churches, in Bible-believing churches, where there's huge splits and people getting hurt because of doctrine. My home church, that happened. So we need to be aware, united with the same mind. If you see someone teaching a wrong doctrine, come tell me. And that's how we do. If we united together, we talk with each other. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, we have our church, and it was the Sunday school rooms. A Sunday school was divided by age groups. And it was one person from that particular Sunday school class. It was a young marriage class. He said to me, his wife was there. I don't know if my wife was there, but the conversation went on. And he said, "You don't want to know what's going on in that room." I look at him and say, "Well, what are you talking about?" It's a lot of blasphemy going on in there. It's a lot of wrong going on in there. And you don't want to know what's going on. "Oh, I want to know what's going on in there." Forget it. You know what I did? I went and tell my pastor, you need to go sit down in that room over there. So why? I said, "What I heard's not nice. I don't even know what's going on. But you need to go sit there in Sunday school." You know, the pastor didn't do it. He made a mistake. And from that particular Sunday school class, there goes the church. There goes the pastor out the door. So we have to be careful. We have to be united. We have to have the same mind, the same goals, and we have to strive. You know what? Because it is one thing that is at stake here, the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, unity in the church is a must. Otherwise, there are always going to be problems within the church. Otherwise, there are always going to be the division within the church. is our greatest goal, is always to reach the lost. That's our greatest goal, of the same mind, reaching the lost. Tell people about Jesus. Here's the second thing, edify each other. If we offend someone, please ask forgiveness. If I offended you, you let me know so I can say I'm sorry. That's how we continually grow in the Lord and we continually love each other. Because what's at stake here is more than just us as individuals, is the very word of God. How do we stand in, united as a church? We have to be united in doctrine. We ought to be united in forgiveness, always willing to forgive one another. We ought to be united in one faith. We ought to be united in the same common goal. The unity of the body is the key to a healthy church. Let us see the sincerity of the saints. Look what it says there in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow unto him that in all things which is the head, even Christ. So Paul urges the Ephesian church here to remain committed to the gospel, willing to proclaim the truth in love. They were to stand up on the word of God in every area of life. And let me tell you, folks, I don't want to put churches down. I don't want to talk bad about churches. But there's one thing that makes me very sad is this. If you look at the word of God, Jesus preached and proclaimed the word. We see churches today, they're more like entertaining places. Music is 50 minutes long. They sing, and if you say, why so much singing and no preaching? And what happened to those people? They're starving for the word of God. I meet more and more Christians that they don't know nothing about their Bibles. Why is that? Why are we turning more to entertainment instead of proclaiming the very word of God? We see the sincerity of the saints here. We need to hear the word. We too must be united in sharing truth. We live in a culture that denies the existence of absolute truth. They refuse to embrace anything that isn't consistent with the way of life. So those who stand up on the word of God are often viewed as hostile, closed-minded, dangerous, and uneducated people. Can you believe that? The pressure to conform to the ideas and philosophies of the modern world, the modern culture, will cause many churches to go astray. And what happens? They become social places where people go there to be entertained. That should not be of the house of the living God. We are to proclaim the word of God and teach the people of God the ways of the Lord so they can go to a world and tell others about Christ. Let me tell you, I went to the First Baptist Church of America and I did a study on that. We had a tour and a person was explaining to us. Let me tell you, when they went to church, they stayed there almost all day. And it was the pastor would preach. When the pastor was done, the pastor would say, Brother so-and-so, do you have any word from the Lord today? And Brother so-and-so would come. When Brother so-and-so was over, Brother so-and-so, hey, Brother so-and-so, you have anything from the Lord today? And Brother so-and-so would come. And they would be there for hours. And let me tell you, in those days, there was no cars. It was horsemen buggies. And they'd drive those buggies in the snow, and they went to church. I said, where's this church at? Right down in downtown Providence. They went there. They used to have the little pews with little section, a little box in there that would stay warm because there was no heat in the church. But they were there for 5-6 hours in a Sunday. It's like, wow. Well, when we are thirsty, when we are hungry for the word of God, I tell you what, the day can go by and then we can stay at it. Number three, we said God's performance desiring for the building of his church. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitted, joined together and compacted by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So finally, Paul speaks of the necessity and benefits of unity among the church. United we can prosper, divided we will fall. Okay? If we as a church, if we are united together, we will prosper as a church. But if we are divided, let me tell you, we will fall. Consider this, our need for unity in verse 16. From whom the whole body is fitted, joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Paul paints a picture, a beautiful picture of unity within the church. The whole body fits together. Is no one better than anybody else. We all fit together. We all the same mind. We have might have different abilities. We might have different gifts, but we all fit together. We perfect together, and we function perfect together. Every member is presented in their place and contributing with the individual gifts that they receive from the Lord, and they're using them for the body, for the growth of the body of Christ. So God has given the body to fulfill her calling. If each member will share their gifts for the good of the body and the work of the ministry, we can be successful in completing our mission. Listen, folks, let me tell you this. When God placed you in a church, He placed you there for a reason. He wants to use you, but He wants to use you on His time. He might put you in the sideline for a season, but what He's doing there is not like He forgot you. He put you there to teach you so you can learn, so you can go. So when you're ready to go and He picks you up and He puts you in them in whatever ministry He puts you and you're ready to do it. Let me tell you, if you watch, for an example, if you watch a football game or a soccer game or even a basketball game, there's always the players in the bench. And some players are not used much by the coach. But let me tell you, when that coach points to that bench, even if you sit in the end of the bench and he says, "You, come up, I'm going to use you," I bet you that player is prepared for it. Because that player has been practicing, he's been training, he's ready for the test. The same thing with our Christians. What are we doing sitting in the pew? What are we doing listening message after message after message? What are we doing? What are we doing by going to Sunday school and listening to the teacher? We're learning. We are getting ourselves practiced. So when we are called, we are ready for it. Amen. Let it be. We see the nature of unity. Look at verse 16. From the whole body. Fitted to all, look at the middle of the verse, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. So Paul revealed our unity and individual contributions who depended upon the working of the Lord through us. We need to allow God to work in us and through us. Otherwise, we never learn anything. We sit at church for the longest time and with a rebellious heart, and we refuse to listen. And refuse to let the Lord teach us. Listen, when we hear messages, it's like we have to say, "Lord, teach me. I need to learn. What can I learn from this message? What can I learn today?" I think, I'm not trying to offend anyone here tonight or anyone on social media. This happens everywhere. I think we have a tendency to complain more than we do to learn. And if we complain, we don't learn. And we have the mentality we know it all. I remember when I was working in administration in a company up in Lincoln, I had some people that we hired, and they say, they come in with experience, and we ask them, do you know that you have experience? Oh, I have experience. And about five minutes later, you know that they don't know a thing about it. Well, so is the mind of some Christians. They think that they know it all. They don't need nobody to teach them. Listen, it is wise. If we always think this way, as long as I live, I will live with a teachable spirit. Because it don't matter how old you are, you can always learn something new. And the more you read God's word, believe me, you put your mind on God's word, and if you read God's word with a teachable spirit, believe me, every time you read that word, God is going to teach you something. Let us see the nurturing through unity. The nurturing through unity, as we labor together, each contributing for the good of the entire body. The body, as while increasing in strength, we will learn. Now, our contributions or lack thereof have a direct impact on the body. If you contribute either way, have direct impact on the body. If you are there, if you have zeal, if you work hard, let me tell you, people are going to notice. You're going to be a blessing to people. If you don't do anything, it's noticed as well. Either way. But let me tell you, I don't want you to misunderstand. You might think by thinking this way, whoa, I can't do anything physically. You can do spiritually. Look what he can do. Let's pray for one another. I conclude with this. Do you know what gift that God has given you? You know clear in your mind what gift God has given you. You know the purpose of that gift? That purpose of that gift, so God can use you with that gift for the edifying of his church. He wants you to use that gift. But it might not be used when you want. It will be used when God wants. God can sit you on the bench and let you learn and learn and mature. And when you're ready, when he knows that you're ready, he will call you. In the meantime, what do you do? Look for the coach. Wait for your call. And in this time, he's going to say, come out of the bench. I'm going to use you now. Are you ready? If we don't do that, if we don't function in the church as a church in unity, it is disarray. We don't prosper, but eventually we will collapse. We don't want that. So let's have that united mind together as believers. March together as a church with the same mind, same goals, following our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for tonight. Thank you for the Word of God that can teach us and instruct us and, Lord, and mature us as believers. Lord, all of us are in this process of learning. All of us should have a teachable learning spirit so we can keep on learning. And help me as well that I would learn from your Word so I can encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ, so we can be an encouragement to one another as we continue in this journey, which is called the Christian life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.